Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Believers have a dual allegiance. They must obey both God and country. Sometimes these two mandates collide, leaving us facing some tough decisions. Today, you'll hear some guidance on keeping both allegiances in balance. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series, Why the Cross Can Do What Politics Can't, Erwin Lutzer is making a distinction between the cross and the flag. From 1 Peter chapter 2, he tells us why and when we must obey those who govern us, even if we don't like them.
Nero, Stalin, Hitler, Churchill, Bill Clinton, submit. He's been put there by God. You speak about him, you do not malign him, you pray for him because he is your leader. That's what you do as a Christian. You say, but oh, in America, we have the privilege of choosing who our king is. Yes, of course, and that's why you get involved in politics and you vote wisely and you pray about your vote and you take your voter's guide and you ask yourself what it is that you should do. And of course, the point is that we live in a participatory democracy, which the people didn't have in those days, and we take full advantage of it. But at the end of the day, we realize that ultimately we are to submit even if it is not our man or our woman who gets elected. That's what the text says. And then he goes on to say that we should submit to civil authorities. Verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Oh, you should hang on to your rights and get an organization that says Christians are having their rights trampled on. No, for this finds favor if for the sake of conscience toward God a man bears up under sorrows, suffering unjustly. He says, what credit is it, the next verse, if you suffer justly, if you get what you deserve? Don't think that that's for Jesus. But if you get something you don't deserve, what does he say? This finds favor with God. God is watching. God is watching. You say, well, shouldn't we be involved? Isn't it Christians who have been on the forefront of good legislation? Yes, be involved. Whether it's a Wilberforce against slavery or whether it is child labor laws, oftentimes it was Christians who brought about all the good changes that they could. And what we should do today, if you're into term limits or even if you are for the NRA or whatever, go ahead and do your agenda. Just don't take all those agendas and nail them to the cross and call them Christian, so that in the eyes of the world, the cross of Jesus Christ looks like an overused bulletin board. Don't do that. Don't do that. The cross must always be distinct. We must recognize today, dear folks, that there are many people to whom we can appeal with persuasion and with love and humility who can get onto our ethical agenda, and that's perfectly fine, our moral agenda. But let's not tag it with the name Christian, and let's not go out of our way to antagonize the world that we are supposed to represent Jesus Christ to. That's the point. And that's the way we live in a pagan society, the way the church has always lived. We've talked about the flag above the cross. I've spoken now about the flag and the cross, and there's one other relationship, and that is the cross against the flag, or the flag against the cross, however you put it. You say, don't we sometimes disobey? Don't we just sometimes say enough is enough? Yes, yes, we do. The whole history of the church is full of lawbreakers. At what point do we simply say we're not going to obey the government anymore? We're not going to take it anymore? Very simply, whenever we are asked to do something that the Bible forbids, or whenever we are asked to refrain from something that the Bible commands, that's the time that we become lawbreakers. If we're asked to do something that the Bible forbids, asked to not do something that the Bible commands, we break the law. You're in Germany in the 60s, in East Germany, and you're asked to help build the Berlin Wall. Of course you help build the Berlin Wall. Be subject to every rule of man. But if the government tells you that you cannot witness to your colleagues, you begin to witness. You do so with care and with a great deal of wisdom, but you witness nonetheless because God has placed you there for one reason, to display the excellencies of Jesus Christ. That's why you are there. That's why you're there. And in those instances that I spoke about earlier where we can be involved in legislation that betters America, fine, wonderful, but even there, remember, we are to be witnesses of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. So what do you do if your children are asked to watch steamy sex movies as part of sex education in the schools? What do you do? First of all, you appeal to the teacher and you go in humility, because you know right well that all the sins in the world are basically found in the church, if we knew the truth. And so you go with a sense of brokenness. You don't do the first thing that you want to do. You don't go with a grenade to try to burn the school down. You go in humility. If that doesn't work, yes, you can go to the school board. And if you want to join a group of people, a group of concerned parents, you can do that too. But what you try to do is you try to work with a system. You try not to gain adversaries by highly political means and start to call one another names like someone did, who is a great leader in this country, who said that because you are calling us religious right-wing fanatics, we're going to call you bigots. And that's a quote. You don't do that. When we disobey wisely. We disobey wisely. We disobey honestly. We don't write letters about our opponents that aren't true in order to get some money, so that we can fight some cause. We don't embellish our argument for the cause of, quote, truth. We do so and we accept unfair treatment because we realize that Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, if that's really what it is, my servants would fight. I have enough resources to win this thing politically. But my kingdom is not from this world, and therefore my servants will not fight. Peter, take your sword and put it back into its sheath. This is not the way you fight in God's kingdom. Not the way you do it in God's kingdom. What is it that I'm saying as I come now to the top of the hill? I'm simply saying this, folks, and I hope that you know that we've taken this journey together so that you might realize that it's possible for the kingdom of man to decline and the kingdom of God to be doing just fine. Just fine. They're two different kingdoms. It's possible, you see, for the kingdom of man with all of its institutions to decline. I need to mention that in China, where the church was so oppressed during communism, and I'm not in favor of communism, I'm not in favor of oppression, and I fear persecution because I don't know what I'd do if persecution came. I hope I do the right thing, but I don't know. But I need to tell you that the church has grown a lot more in China than it has in Taiwan with all of its freedom. I do need to tell you that. It is possible, you see, for a state to decline. It is possible for the city of man to go downhill and the city of God to rise up to fill the vacuum and see God do something wonderful in the midst of it. I'm here to encourage you and let you know that our destiny as a church is not dependent upon the next election that is going to take place in the United States. We have a higher leader. We have a higher calling. We belong to that city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. We are going in different directions. Yes, for this brief time we intersect, but the city of man and the city of God will separate forever, finally, in the end. And that's why we aren't complainers. If I'm flying from Los Angeles to Chicago home and I have a stop off in Atlanta, I don't get all tight about the fact that the washrooms in the Atlanta airport aren't carpeted and there's inadequate lighting and some of the fixtures are dirty. I don't get shook. Why? I'm just passing through. I'm on my way home. Remember the years ago when we used to sing, "This world wasn't my home," and some people actually believed it? Because we belong to another country, another city with another leader, and our responsibility is to pick up the pieces of a crumbling society. What a day and age in which to live, so that we speak to the homeless and to that pregnant mother, and we minister to her in a daycare center. And we talk to those who are going through times of financial distress, and those single mothers, God bless them, whose homes have been ravaged by divorce and immorality and alcoholism. And we move in and we take over and we represent Jesus to them. That's what we do when society crumbles. Not to save America, but we're committed to saving Americans. That's God's agenda, excellencies. Remember that story that comes to us from the turn of the century? That Boxer Rebellion, called the Boxers, by the way, because they used to do calisthenics there in China. And during those terrible times, Christians were going through times of persecution that were horrendous. They marched into the school with guns, this Christian school, about 100 students, and they said, "We want all of you to come out because we've laid a cross down on the step. If you step on the cross, thereby despising it, you'll live. If you walk around the cross, you'll be shot." The first 8 students stepped on the cross, and their lives were spared. But the 9th was a girl. And she stood and she knelt there beside the cross, asking God to give her the grace to do what she knew she should do. And she very quietly walked around the cross in respect of it and was mowed down. All the other students in the school followed her example. 90 children killed because they were Christians. Were they losers? Were they losers because they didn't know anything about the American way of life? No, my friend, it is possible to lose in the city of man and win forever in the city of God. We belong to a different country with a different set of values, with a different commander, and we are in march to a different drummer. And what we must do is to represent Christ well in a nation that is crumbling around us, looking for answers. And we must call forth the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Go today in peace to your neighborhood, to your home, to your apartment, to your place of work tomorrow and say, "I represent Christ." That's what we do when paganism encroaches. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and of course I didn't mean to imply that we should go and hold ourselves up as Christ's representatives, simply making that declaration. What I was interested in is us living out the gospel by serving our communities, by showing our humility, our love for Christ, by developing credibility by the way in which we live. So that when we do give the gospel to people, they don't simply respond by saying, "Spare me." No, we must be able to give the gospel of Jesus Christ with a sense of integrity, and our own lives should show forth, as the text says, the excellencies of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light.
On today's Running to Win, Erwin Lutzer concluded The Cross and the Flag, the second of 8 messages in his series on why the cross can do what politics can't. Next time, join us for What God Thinks of the Cross. In the complex area of faith and politics, we need some clear teaching. This 8-part CD series can be yours as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.